Blog Talk Radio.
Kristen?
Yes.
Okay, hold on. We're just starting. Welcome to Divine Goddess Radio. Sorry, we're having technical issues, but we're on. This is Marie Langley
and Beth Jacobson,
and we're excited to have you join us. We've created this show as a venue to discuss the many facets of healing, shifting, and spirituality. We will have discussions on various topics, and we'll feature many guests, including healers, psychics, mediums, and speakers.
Our show will be on Sundays from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time. You can follow our show on Blog Talk Radio by clicking on the follow button, and also check out our blog at divinegoddessradio.wordpress.com, and our email address is divinegoddessradio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your feedback and your insight on our show. You can reach Beth at 651-900-4136 and Marie at 651-303-0555. And you can also download our show as a podcast using iTunes or RSS feed buttons on our Blog Talk Radio page. And also please like our Facebook page. Just search for Divine Goddess Radio.
And our chat room will be open for any questions, so please feel free to type in and ask a question or just say hello. And today we are speaking with Kristen Scanlon, who is a certified Body Talk for Animals practitioner and professional animal communicator from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Her contact information is kristen.bodytalk@gmail.com, and her phone number is 763-226-6943. Welcome, Kristen.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hi, Kristen. This is Beth. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what kind of work do you do? Can you explain to people out there who have no idea what's going on and want to know a little bit more?
Sure. Well, the kind of work I do is pretty massive healing with animals and their people, including the big animals, like zoo animals, and trying to connect people to their elemental self through the animals. And our animals heal us. So I make that connection between the animal and the person to facilitate the deepest healing possible.
Exactly. And so what specifically is animal communication? what exactly does that mean?
Animal communication is actually literally having a conversation with an animal. So just like you and I are talking, animal communication is talking with an animal. I hear them, I walk down the street and I hear the birds and the bugs, and just like when you're walking through a crowd and they're having a conversation, you hear people having a conversation, I hear that with the animal.
So do you actually hear, like, voices? Do you see pictures? Do you get thoughts? How does it work for you?
All of the above. Most of the time, it's a conversation. If they're really trying to get something across to me, they'll send me a picture. If I'm not understanding, like if they're in pain or they're trying to show me where something is, an imbalance in their system, they'll also maybe send me what they're feeling. So I may get a physical pain or a physical discomfort or a smell, something along those lines as well.
Oh, wow. So, like, how long have you been doing this for? I mean, when did you notice that you were able to communicate with animals?
Officially?
Yeah.
Probably about 7 years ago, 7 or 8 years ago. I've been doing it all my life. I just didn't know it. And because as a kid, we tend to push that stuff down. Oh, it's not real. You can't really talk to them. That's on your head, your imaginary friends,
Exactly.
But really, as a kid, I knew it. And I knew the healing powers that they had even as a kid, because I was scared of animals. When I was a kid, I actually did not like them.
Oh, so was I.
So you didn't have pets growing up?
No. Well, not until I was a teenager. And then we had, there's a cat that came into our yard, and I kept feeding it bologna.
Bologna.
Bologna. And so she kept coming closer and closer, and then we snuck her into the house because my dad didn't like pets. So we snuck her into the house, and she lived with us for a couple weeks before my dad knew we had a cat. And it just went from there.
So did your parents or any family members notice that you had this gift? when you were a child?
No, I don't think so. They knew I had an active imagination, but we always thought my sister was the one with the gift. So, because she was, animals would just respond to her in this incredible way. And,
really?
Yeah, I mean, they would just be like horses and dogs and cats, and they were just always magnetic to her. And for me, they'd kind of like, we'd be really leery with each other. And what I found out as time goes on, now that I'm an adult and I can look back 2020, you know, hindsight, I was leery with them, so they were leery with me. They were just reflecting what I was feeling. So, yeah.
What would you say to people who are having that aha, you know, when you're sitting here and you're talking about this going, oh, my Lord, that was me. What would your advice to them be?
Just, you got to trust yourself. You have to trust that you know what you know. And, you know, there is no wrong moment to have that aha moment. I was in my 30s before I realized, I mean, I had a really deep connection with one of my cats, but then I had a dog that was like from the devil's child, you know, kind of a thing. And she would chew up everything. She would take a piece of onion, run underneath the table. And I mean, it was horrible. But my cat and I were so in sync with each other. And we were both very fearful creatures. I had a lot of fear. And we messed with each other. And I would do anything for her. And that's how I started my healing, is that I would do anything for her. And as I learned as time goes on, is that when we can focus on the animals, when we start healing them, we start healing us. Because really, their healing is for us,
yes,
not
it
for
is,
them.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
So, Kristen, can animals sense when you don't like animals, but yet they'll come up and just bug you? I mean, is that because they're sensing that you're like, stay away from me?
It depends on the animal. Some animals, absolutely, they know when you don't like them. Sometimes they'll do it on purpose because they know you don't like them.
Yes.
Sometimes they're trying to change your mind.
Oh.
And sometimes they're like, just accept me for who I am, just as I accept you.
Okay, because I'm not a big dog lover. Yeah, I'm not a big dog lover, but dogs will always come right up to me and want to be right there with their little tails wagging and looking, and it's like, could you just go away?
Well, because, you know, there's an element that what I'm sensing is that there's an element going, why don't you like me? I'm not hurting you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not here to harm you, so why wouldn't you like me? Now, what
I never appreciated animals until I was older. I never appreciated animals, I would say probably when I met you, so however long ago that was, Kristen.
A few years ago, yeah.
Yeah. I started looking at animals differently and started opening up to it more.
Yeah, they're no different than us. They just have four legs and are furry, most of them.
I think they're a lot nicer. They're a lot nicer.
Yeah.
They're not as moody when you sit here and really
get to
know them.
No, they're very accepting. And the thing with an animal is they accept you exactly as you are and where you're at.
Exactly.
And if you don't want to change, then you don't have to change. If you want to change, fine, go ahead, change. But they accept you where you're at in this moment. There is no judgment from them.
Okay.
Does that even have to go, would you say that? Would you go as far as to say that with wild animals, too? They accept you as they are, as we are?
Yes. Yes.
Really?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's...
So why do you think some of them would attack? What would your take on that be?
Well, if you put yourself in their paws, or their hooves, or whatever, and your home is being destroyed. What are you going to do?
That's true.
Are you going to slink away? Or are you going to fight for your home? Are you, if you feel your young is being threatened in any way, shape, or form, any mother will tell you they'll fight for the death. They'll fight to the death to protect their children. If they're startled, you know, if you think of how do we react when we're startled, we're on the attack instantly. It's no different for them. They're just expected to behave differently when that happens to them.
You know, that's true. That is so true.
Yeah. So, Kristen, what is body talk for animals?
Body talk for animals, well, body talk is a very simple and efficient system. I shouldn't say simple because it's complex at the same time. But basically, our bodies know how to run itself. And our bodies know how to heal itself. It's just sometimes it doesn't remember the formula it has to run or the program it has to run to heal itself. So what I do is I use your body's own natural responses to what's right for it, what's wrong, you know, what's not, what it doesn't want and what it does want. And I come up with a formula. It's like a math formula of the body. And I tell the brain, okay, solve that formula. Run that program, and when you run that program, it heals itself. So it's a just a reminder. And so body talk for animals will go in and do the same thing.
Oh. Okay, so then how do animal communication and body talk work together?
I can get feedback from the animal for one, and the body talk for animals is actually not usually for the animal. It's for the person. But the animal is willing to be the surrogate for the person. And if the person isn't able to come to that point where they're like, well, this isn't mine. You know, if a dog has cancer, for instance, or a cat, you know, pick any animal you choose. I'm going to use a dog for now because I've had a few of those come up. The dog that has cancer is generally on a consciousness level about anger. And it's very deep-seated anger. So the person may be like all happy-go-lucky, but underneath there's some anger. There's a current of anger that maybe hasn't been released from childhood, before birth, or even as an adult. And it's going to manifest in that animal as cancer because that person hasn't dealt with their anger. And so you take care of that anger, that cancer is going to be taken care of. So when I am working with an animal, and it depends, working with the animal, will they know where their person is at. Sometimes I can't talk about that with a person, and we just deal with the animal, even though I know that we're working on the person. Sometimes the animal is giving me the message, you need to talk to this, you need to talk to my human. They need to let go of this anger so I can feel better. Or, like, diabetes is sweetness of life. Are they experiencing too much and not taking responsibility, which I don't think I've ever had that happen. But
yeah.
Are they not allowing the sweetness of life? Are they not enjoying the moment? So you take that into the, you know, how does that human let go and enjoy life? I had one dog, actually I've had two dogs, where they had a collapsed trachea. And, of course, go to the vet's like, there's nothing we can do. They'll just have this issue. It'll collapse on it. I'm going to go back. It'll collapse. Medication, you know, all that stuff. And I'm also going to make this disclaimer now. I am not a vet, so I don't diagnose, I don't prescribe, and I don't claim to cure. With that said, these dogs went to the vet, and I had one body talk session with the dog. The dog really had a hard time breathing, wasn't eating, and was not going outside to relieve herself. She wasn't doing anything. She was very lethargic, coughing a lot. One body talk session, she quit coughing. She ate, and she went to the bathroom. And she has not had an issue since. And that was, I believe, 3.5 years ago.
Wow. Whereas so normally her trachea problems were taken care of?
That problem is completely taken care of. Because body talk goes to the core of the issue, the root of it, and it heals it. It gets rid of it. And because once that's taken care of and once that's addressed, there is no more issue, right? The other collapsed trachea was about their owner. There's a couple of things. There's an active memory of her husband died of emphysema, couldn't breathe, and she was also feeling choked off by life. She ended up retiring, following her passion of painting, letting go of the death of her husband, letting that active memory get neutralized through body talk, and also no issues.
Wow. I guess people don't realize how they affect their pets, that they're so interconnected that way.
No, they're becoming more awareness, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. And that's really what it is. It's an awareness. And we're all interconnected. And our animals, if you look at it from the perspective, our animals, even the big wild animals or the animals in the zoos and the sanctuaries, They love us so much that they take it on for us in hopes that we're going to see what we need to do and take care of it and start healing ourselves. And if we don't, they move on, come back, try it again.
Do you think that's their sole purpose, is to just
no.
to love unconditionally, and that's the reason that they're here, to help teach us into learning unconditionally?
I think their sole purpose is to show us how to live that way. They would rather us not have to live that way and that we could all just live in a harmonious world.
Oh, that's wonderful. So, Kristen, how would a person who may not be, or, you know, somebody who wants to tune in with their animal more, how would you, or what would you recommend on what they would need to do on learning how to communicate with their pet or their animals? You know, is there anything you could recommend to somebody so that they could do some practice exercises, you know?
Yeah, until absolutely. I mean, you know, obviously, take a class. I offer those as well. But as a general, the biggest thing that you can do is just get calm and centered and feel really grounded to the earth as if you're one with the earth. And then you start breathing through your heart chakra. And breathe through your heart and let that flow to them. And just focus on them. And then don't think about any questions. Don't think about anything. And just connect. You know what they need. 99% of the time when I'm doing an animal communication session and I'm going to give away the, you know, the secret of us all, you most of the time the owners know what the animal needs. They question it, and that's where we come in, when it's just a straight communication session.
Oh. Have you ever had an animal who had a current caretaker? I don't like the word owner. Caretaker, to where the pet was telling you that they were being abused by their caretaker, and that caretaker was probably, you know, maybe a little skeptical on what you exactly could do, and maybe they brought you in just to see if you'd be able. Have you ever run into that?
When I first started, I'll never say that they're being abused. I've never had that.
Okay.
It's more like they don't pay attention to me.
Okay.
I feel taken for granted. Some will have pain, and I'll see the picture of what's happened, but they won't necessarily confirm it. They don't tell your secrets. You know,
really?
they don't. No. Animals will never tell your secrets unless you tell them to, and then even then, you never know. My cat, personally, if he talks to another communicator, he likes to play games. You never know what's going to come out of his mouth. He's a ham. But no, I've had skeptics. And when you have an animal communication session, I know that even psychics, they get this all the time, right? The person comes in and is like, okay, prove it to me that you can do this.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you anything. Tell me everything. I don't work like that. But in a session, if you're not getting markers along the way, a lot of times, like, a lot of communicators like to work with pictures. I don't need that. I just need a name. But my marker is I can describe that. I can describe your animal to you. Or I can describe their personality to you. Or I can maybe describe a room that they're in or one of their favorite toys. Or not always, but it usually comes up within the conversation. And if you're not getting that from a communicator and you're getting really vague things, get more specific with your answers, so they have to get specific with theirs.
So in other words,
like,
then you could... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, so then you would be able to read animals that have crossed over with an owner or a caretaker who you're doing a session on. You would be able to see an animal that's crossed over, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And what I was going to say is, you know, if you're vague with a question, just like if I came up to you, Beth, and I said, hey, how are you? You're going to go, I'm good. Right? But if I said, hey, Beth, tell me something great that happened in your day, that's more specific.
Yes.
It's the same thing with animals. Hey, how you doing? Good. how are you feeling? Sleepy. You know, they're going to be just as vague.
Okay, okay. Interesting.
Yeah. And, you know, you were, you mentioned zoos earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what should people be mindful, like when they go to visit a zoo, what should they be mindful of? I mean, should they be looking for communication from animals? Should we be communicating with them? You know, are they so depressed because they're in a zoo? Or
what's the do's and the don'ts?
Yeah.
The do's and the don'ts, you know, just be open to whatever. Most people put their barriers up when they go into a zoo because they're so afraid they're going to feel the sadness. They're going to feel, I'm so locked up and I hate it here. You know, some animals are like that, but my experience in zoos has been actually quite the opposite. They're not sad that they're in the zoo. They're often sad that people aren't paying attention.
Oh.
And they're not grateful that they're there to teach them. They're pounding on the glass and they're annoying them and they're not watching their kids or they're, you know, not, their minds are like all over the place or they're crabby or they're tired. They're not mindful of, or the animals pick up on all of that. And I think, so, like, most animals actually like the zoo. If you're open to hearing that from them, they really do like it. I mean, I talk to a lion, I talk to this lion on a regular basis at one of the zoos here, and he has a super small enclosure. And I'm like, so, do you like it here? And he said, yeah, I get fed all the time. I don't have to hunt anything. I don't have to worry about where it's going to come from, when I'm going to get fed, because I'm just going to get it. I get to lay around all day. I don't have to worry about hunting anything.
Wow.
But I would like my caretakers to be more present. And we
really?
Are here. I would, yeah, and I would like a little bit more, he would like a little bit more space between the people and his enclosure because the glass is really loud when kids pound on it.
Oh, I bet.
Or even adults knock on the glass to try to get their attention. It's super loud. I mean, cats already have supersonic hearing, so
yeah.
You don't need to pound on the glass.
Exactly.
And I'll never forget, I was there, and it was actually a, I don't know if it was a puma or a mountain lion was there, and this kid was like knocking on the glass, and I just leaned down to him very gently and said, he can hear you better if you whisper.
Oh.
And just ask him to come over and just whisper it. And so this little kid, it was adorable. This little kid goes, can you come over and see me? And the mountain lion instantly came over. And the look on that kid's face was like, I love it. And I'm like, shh, they listen better if you're quiet.
Ooh, I'm going to try that.
How about if you just do it telepathically? Is that even better than the whispering?
It can be, yeah. It is. Well, it is, except they may not get to really focus on them because they have so many thoughts coming at them.
Oh, I bet. I bet.
Yeah.
So, hey, this is me in the red.
Yeah. This is me waving.
This is me waving right now. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, I had
anything?
The lion, like, nod his head at me. It was so amazing to have, you know, the king of the jungle, like, look at me and do that closed eye thing where you know that he's king of the jungle.
Yeah.
And he turned his head at me, and he just nodded his head in acknowledgement, and I'm like, whoa.
Well, you know
cool.
what, Kristen? Wow. One time, was it last year, you and I went to the Como Zoo? I can't remember if it was a year ago or 2 years ago, and we were talking to the then baby giraffe, the youngest of the giraffes.
Yeah.
And we were outside, and we were finished talking with the giraffe, and then all of a sudden the giraffe, like, bowed. It did, like, a bow, and I never saw that before.
Yeah.
Do you remember that at all?
Oh, yeah. And here's the thing. Here's the funny thing about that. I never thought that was odd.
I was, started crying because I'm going, oh, my
odd.
Lord.
Yeah. And people... Now I know different because my friend is like, Chris, you don't realize it's way different going to a zoo with you than not. Because when you come to the zoo, the animals come out. And I'm like, don't they always come out? That's why you go to a zoo, because they're always out. She's like, no, not how it normally is.
Sounds like a field trip is in order.
I do a level 2 animal communication where it is a field trip to the zoo.
Oh, is it?
Oh.
Yeah. Yep, level 2 is that.
Oh, nice, nice. What's been your most interesting animal and own or caretaker experience, you know, with somebody
most
that you've worked on? Yes.
I would say, well, there's so many of them. I think, well, one of them was a dog that I did not know the person. And this was earlier on when I was dealing with consciousness work. The dog had lost its eyesight within, like, a matter of days. And they actually had to remove one of the eyes. And so they contacted me and wanted to know, well, what's going on? Because, of course, they're thinking it's some medical reason. And I was so afraid because this dog was really adamant about getting her message across. And she's like, I am losing my eyesight so she can see hers, so she can use hers. And I'm like, do I have to say that? I don't know this woman. She's like, just say she's losing her eyesight so you can have yours. And I'm like, okay. I'm just a messenger. Don't shoot me kind of a thing, right?
Yeah.
And I said that, and the woman goes, oh, my God, she's right. I'm not seeing what's right in front of me.
Huh.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, phew, dodged a bullet there.
Yes.
Yeah, and I don't think she lost her other eye. Because the woman is like, oh, yeah, I really got to see what's right in front of me. I can't keep looking past it and around it, and I got to work with what's on. I'm like, awesome. Yay.
Interesting. What's the biggest animal that you've ever worked with, Kristen?
Officially, it's been the horses.
Oh.
The smallest has been a spider. The biggest has been the horses.
A spider?
Yeah.
What kind
That's
of a
move.
Spider?
I don't know. He was a spider.
Oh, just a spider?
He was, his name is Mr. Moof. And
Mr.
we had
Moof?
Spiders. Mr. Moof. He's a spider that talks back. Our house is inundated with spiders. They were everywhere. And we're getting bitten all the time. And I'm thinking with two cats and two dogs and a husband, that should not be happening. And they're just everywhere. And so I was out in the kitchen and I saw this big spider on the ceiling. And I'm like, okay, if you can talk to a cockroach, which was an example in the class, I took one of the classes, you can talk to a spider. So I did the grounding stuff, and I said, hi, my name's Chris. And I heard back into, hi, I'm Mr. Moof. How are you? I was like, oh, I'm good, you know. And I said to him, the biggest thing with animals is be honest. Because I said to him, you really kind of creep me out. And he said, yeah, we do that to people.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh.
And we negotiated back and forth. We talked. We were honest with each other. And it ended up being, you know, they could have as many of them in the garage. 3 of them could live in the basement. I'd really rather not see them. But I did appreciate what he did for the bugs. I respected that. They checked other things out. And not to go in my bedroom. And all this other stuff. And I said, I will not kill you if I see you, but I have 2 dogs, 2 cats, and a husband at the time. So I'm not going to, I can't take responsibility for them. And he's like, okay, I got it. I didn't see a spider for over 6 months.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I have a question for you. Did you by chance happen to ask how old that spider was, you know?
I don't know. He's very wise. He died. The reason I didn't see a spider for 6 to 8 months is because he kept things in check. He died after that because a little white spider rebelled.
Oh.
So.
Like a little albino spider? Is that what you're saying?
Yep. He was a little albino spider, and he actually took a ninja pose when I walked by him.
Oh,
it was
really?
Pretty funny. Yeah, because I said, you know, you're not supposed to be down this low. And he said, I can do whatever I want. And he had like a Spanish accent. That was the funny thing. I can do whatever I want.
Also hysterical. They come across in different languages.
Yeah. This one did. He was like Zorro. He thought he was Zorro.
I'm still stuck on the cockroach. It's like bugging me through this whole thing. What do you say to a cockroach other than get the F out of my house?
Well, you know, you can ask
you
them,
for
what
audience.
Here? What are you doing here? What do you want? Yeah. I never dealt with a cockroach. It was a story from class where some guy had a hissing cockroach as a pet, and the instructor was like, that cockroach was like a stand-up comedian. It was hysterical talking to that cockroach. We were laughing the whole time.
Wow.
So when you start to get to know creatures on that level,
yeah.
I can't kill a spider to save my soul. I can't do it. I accidentally drowned a spider, and it just about killed me. I'm so sorry I didn't see you there. You know? And he's like, I wanted to die. Okay.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to ask you is, you know, people when they travel or they're moving or even, you know, kind of on a daily basis, they might take their pets with them. What's the best way to transport a pet? Is it, you know, because... Like, my sister adopted a dog down in Belize and had to bring him back in a kennel. And I, you know, was just imagining that poor dog must have been totally terrified, you know. So what is the best way to transport?
Always let them know what's going on. And let them know days in advance. Even if you don't know that, like, if you're going to go pick up an animal and you don't actually know them, start talking to them in your head. Okay, this is for your own good. We're just going to try and keep you safe. I always say transport them in a kennel because that's the safest thing for them.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, it depends on the animal, right? I just dealt with a lost dog that they were in a car accident and coming back from a dog show. And the woman owner was in critical care. They had to helicopter out. And the husband, of course, is like frantic because I can't find his dog because he ran off. And it took like 3 days before they found him. But so now they're in all these separate places, right? So it's just safer to have them kenneled if you can. But let them know what's going on, because if you don't let them know what's going on, that's going to create more trauma.
Oh, wow. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Well, Kristen has agreed to answer questions on the air, so if anybody has a question, you can dial into 347-327-9360 or type your question into the chat room, and we can read them on the air. And we'll continue to ask Kristen questions as well as, you know, in between the callers. Do we have any callers or anybody chatting?
I did have someone who typed a question earlier, but I don't think she's on anymore. She wanted to know if she could, Kristen could communicate with her little kitty, but I wasn't sure exactly what she wanted to communicate. So we don't have a caller now yet, but wanted to put that out there in case anybody had a question for Kristen.
But meanwhile, I can definitely ask you, Kristen, who would you say would benefit from body talk, like age-wise, human-wise, and, you know, are there animals that you cannot communicate with? Or is it open to everybody of all ages, different shapes and sizes?
Everyone benefits from body talk. Everyone, even unborn children.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. And children, they have less stuff holding them back, so they're much more likely to release issues. And they don't have as much junk in the way, so they heal faster.
Well, that would make sense.
Yeah, I've worked on pregnant women. I've worked on fibromyalgia. I've worked on cancers. I've worked on arthritis. I've worked on depression, migraine, you name it. I've pretty much probably dealt with it. So
body talk is something then that would be useful to incorporate into like a hospital or a clinic setting.
Absolutely. When someone has surgery, including animals, they heal faster with body talk. And it, because it works, body talk can be a standalone system. It also works very well as an integrative approach. So when you're working in tandem with another modality, whether it's Western medicine or Eastern, it's really, really speeds up the process of healing because it's creating those links, again, that the body's like, oh, yeah, I got to run that program. Oh, okay, I can do that. And every session builds on each other. So you build a, you know, you have a session, your body doesn't forget what it did. So the next session, you're not redoing that same session. And the other piece of that is every session is different. So I could have five people with the same issue, or the animal with the same issue. For instance, the two dogs that had collapsed tracheas, one issue was fear. The owner had fear of traveling, actually. And the second one had active memories of emphysema and then also not speaking her truth. Same diagnosis, different core being.
Wow.
So I could have five do that and be different.
Really? That's
yes.
Interesting. Very interesting. Have you ever had an animal hold on to stuff and refuse to let anything go?
Not the animal, but the human.
The human?
If the human isn't
really
willing to let it go, then the animal can't let it go. Because it will just take on the new stuff.
Interesting. That is really interesting. So far right now, it doesn't look like we have anybody. Has anybody called in?
No, not yet.
Okay. So I'm wondering if I could ask you a question. You said you could tune in with animals, and I was just wondering if it's possible that you would be able to tune in and with any lost pets that I had, you know, growing up.
Maybe.
In grad school, I had my roommate at the time had a Great Dane named Hunter, and she was just the most gorgeous, gorgeous dog. Is she around?
Hunter?
Yes. Yes. Oh, she's not around?
Well, okay, be more specific.
Does she have any messages for me?
Quit looking for the answers. Let the answers look for you. I don't know where that came from. Well, I'm obviously that came from her, but...
For the answers?
Quit looking for the answers. The answers are around, or let them come to me.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, Hunter, wouldn't that just be her to say that such a thing?
Yeah, there's
that's
your marker.
Interesting. That fits in with what Beth and I were talking about earlier, actually.
Oh, it does actually fit in with what's going on right now. That is hysterical. That is very hysterical.
Quit looking. Let them come to you. Yeah.
Yeah. Kristen, I do have a question from the chat room, and this is from Pinky12. The question is, I have an 8-year-old indoor cat that has decided she now wants to be outside. We purchased a collar and leash, and now she wants to be out all the time. So she's wondering, what's up? I mean, it's a new interest.
There's something inside that is bothering her. If there's any discord in the house, it's really affecting her. If there's any upset within the house.
Okay.
And even when I say that, I get a little, like, anxious. She's almost afraid to say that there's upset in the house. She's almost afraid to admit that there's upset in the house. I don't know if someone doesn't want to admit that there's upset in the house or discord in the house. I don't know. I can't see the chat room.
Okay, I'm going to ask.
And I would also, the first thing I got was don't do a collar, do a harness.
Okay.
Do a harness, not a collar?
Yes.
Okay.
Collars can get caught on things. Now, does she wander, or is she on a leash?
On a leash. And they were thinking that maybe, it's a harness. So, yes, it's a harness. They thought, or leash, sorry. she's saying now it's a leash. they thought maybe that the cat wants to watch the dogs. That she watches the dogs go out all the time?
No, she didn't care less about the dogs.
Okay. Nothing to do with dogs. Okay.
But, you know, it's a good excuse. If it gets her outside, hey, it gets her outside.
Okay.
The other piece to that is that person missing going outside, were they missing going outside for a while?
Yeah, I don't. Well, she said there's no. She said
no.
No.
Get up and move. Okay, so now the cat's becoming a lot more comfortable with her answer.
Yeah, because they're saying that it has a harness with a leash, and that the cat had never been outside before.
Yeah, well, it's also moving you. It's get up and move, like. It's making you move because you'll do more for her than you'll do for the dogs, at least in her opinion.
Oh.
But there's, again, I keep coming back to there's something going on in the house, but there's an uncomfortable feeling in there.
Uh-huh.
For the cat. And keep in mind, it may not be anything major. It may not be a lot of fighting. Or, you know, we instantly go to, oh, my gosh, there's this big discord going on. That's where our brain goes. But if you take it even from the perspective of like a little kid, one little fight, one little disagreement with someone, whether it's on the phone or not, or even yelling at the dog, no, don't do that.
No kids.
That to them could stick with them, and that could be the discord.
Okay.
So I don't want them. Go ahead.
They said they're not sure. They said there's no fighting and they have no kids, or there's no kids around.
No, but they have dogs.
Oh, they have dogs. Gotcha.
Oh, so like the dogs could have done something to where the cat didn't like it, and is that what you were saying, Kristen?
No, I'm saying that the dog, unless the dogs are absolutely perfect, I can't imagine that the dogs are never told no.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, they're saying that may be it.
Okay.
Yep.
And it's like that. I'm at the end of my rope. If you do one more thing, right? And you're not going to do anything, but it's like,
Okay. Yeah, they're saying that might be it. So, well,
there's,
we have a caller, and they're not there anymore.
Sure. They're probably like, I don't want to know what's going on.
Well, I'm sure Pinky was going, no, there's nothing going on. But now when you're putting it down to it, could be animals, and like if they had to say something to the animals, the dogs, and the cat was there and witnessed it, heard it, you know.
Yeah.
Looking at it as discord.
Outside, also, I mean, it clears things. You know, when people go outside, it just makes you feel better.
Okay.
And so,
okay.
I don't, you know, if you can, I don't know. Yeah. And who doesn't like new things sometimes?
Okay. All right. So she said thank you very much.
yeah, thank you for mine also. You know, I have a question for you. Talking about pit bulls, you know, there's so many pit bulls that have been brought up to be in those, you know, underground, what do
fighting.
You call them? The fighting. Have you ever encountered a rescue pit bull to where you've done work with them?
I haven't worked with a rescue pit bull. I've worked with other rescue animals that have been, quote-unquote, aggressive. And a lot of times it just takes patience. And again, it's always put yourself in their paws. And also understand, pit bulls are the sweetest dogs on the face of the earth. They really are just sweeter beyond sweet.
Really?
And, oh my gosh, they're just amazing. They hate to fight. They hate it. The only reason they're bred to fight is because they're strong. But they will never, they used to be babysitters. People
really?
Used to get them to watch over their babies because they were that gentle. Yeah. And, of course, they're protective. But if you put yourself in their paws and you're going, okay, if this happened to me, let's see, if I was in a home where I had to fight with my brothers and sisters all the time and I was told that this was, you know, you're going to have different reactions to things. The nice thing about body talk is that it takes away those active memories and it takes away the trauma. Well, it doesn't take it away, but it neutralizes the trauma and the things that trigger the trauma. And keep in mind that there are some things with body talk that can be taken care of in one session, and those sessions do happen. Body talk is generally an ongoing thing for at least 4 to 6 sessions. It's not usually a long-term thing, like, you know, many, many months.
Okay.
But, you know, integration issues, bringing a pet into a home, you know, they're coming in a whole new environment. How are you when you have to go somewhere new?
Exactly.
A little discombobulated, new things, not sure of the rules. You know, and they have to figure things out in a split second. That's what we expect of them. And they
do that. Really, that's very interesting. Well, thank you for that information because I know people need to hear that. We have a caller, so hopefully the caller that was on here not too long ago is back to ask their question. So
I'm going to bring him on the line. Hi, this is area code 320. Could you state your name and where you're from?
Sure,
and
can, Teresa.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi. I have a question about, well, I've got a couple questions, but I'm not quite sure which one to ask. But I wanted, I'll just, whatever. My cat seems to be having an issue with losing his weight. And he's old. I mean, he's, I think he's close to 12 years old.
Okay.
And I'm just wondering if there's something else that he wants me to know, other food I should be feeding him.
When you asked about, well, okay, there's a couple things that came up. When you asked specifically about food, he's like, protein, mom, more protein. Protein? Protein, mom, protein. Protein? Like, raise his paw and says protein.
Okay.
I don't know what kind of food you feed him.
I try to feed him, you know, the non-gluten-y, you know, the good stuff. I try to do that, and most of the time I succeed. But should it be, like, the canned stuff? Is that what he's...
Oh, yeah, he'll take it.
Right.
I do a... of course, I'll take it, right?
Yeah.
I'll take whatever you do. The biggest thing in food to watch out for is no byproducts. If you can get a no-grain food, there are some really good brands out there. I personally use Nature's Instinct. I also use From. Solid Gold has some good cat food. And a lot of times, I don't know if you noticed this, I kind of see this, you kind of reach for a can of food, and you're like, yeah, that's not it.
Yes.
That's not you, that's him. Listen
okay.
to that. And also
okay.
keep in mind that some of the junk food, it's just like us trying to go to McDonald's or somewhere, like a fast food restaurant. They like the junk food, too. All right?
Yeah.
We just have more control over that than we have control in our lives, but we tend to, like, not think we do. But listen to that, because he's actually seeing what you're looking, what you're reaching for. And he's like, no, I don't want that.
Okay.
Ooh,
so
okay.
No,
I'm not going to get that.
All right, I'll just kind of try to follow a little bit more of my gut when I'm in there. But then I end up being there in the food, you know, the pet food store for 45 minutes in the aisle trying to figure it out. You know.
I keep seeing a blue sparkly can.
Okay.
I don't know if you're drawn to one of those.
I think I know which one you're talking about.
Solid Gold has a blue sparkly can. I don't know if that's the one that they're thinking of. So
I will check it out. Thank you.
Did you have another question, Teresa?
Well, I didn't catch the beginning of the show, but I know I've heard about body talk. And I've been having an issue, well, at least it feels like it's an issue. It feels like either it has something to do with digestive stuff for me personally,
mm-hmm.
which, or I'm not sure what it is, but it feels like it's kind of on my right side, and it feels like more of an intuitive thing that I should be, I don't know, maybe I need to go to the doctor, but are you picking up anything?
A couple of things, and it came up too when you were asking about the cat, because he's losing weight too, right? So he's having digestive issues.
Yeah, probably.
And you don't have to answer on the air because obviously, you know, there's a lot of people listening. But just kind of go through in your head, if you're feeling less than and not good enough and you feel like you maybe are just kind of wasting away and you're having a really hard time digesting something that's going on, I actually want to cry.
Okay. Well, there is a family issue for sure with my father. He was just diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and that is not just, but we've been, you know, dealing with that for the last year. I don't know if that's...
I know that I'm recently
stressed out about that.
So can I do a clearing on you really quick?
Please.
Okay, so I'm gonna say some phrases, and I'm going to ask if you're going to want to destroy and uncreate all of that, and then I'm going to say some weird phrase that you don't need to understand, and that's okay. It's meant for you to not understand it unless you're in the work at all. But everything that it brings up, that you're afraid that your dad might forget you, are you willing to destroy and uncreate all of that?
Hmm.
Anything that brings up? Would you like to destroy and uncreate all of that? Good and bad, right and wrong, Cod Talk Online, Shorts, Boys, and Beyond. Whew, that's a big one, right? So anything that it brings up that you're feeling less than and inadequate, would you like to destroy and uncreate all of that? Good and bad, right and wrong, Cod Talk Online, Shorts, Boys, and Beyond. And anything that doesn't allow you to feel like you're worth it and that you're worth being here and that you need to understand everything, are you willing to destroy and uncreate all of that? Good, bad, right, wrong, pod, block, all nine, church, boys, and beyond. I'm going to take a deep breath. How are you feeling?
Nice and warm in my belly.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you so much,
absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Kristen. When you're working on somebody like that, and those of us who heard that, can that also affect us also to where we release stuff too along with it?
Absolutely.
Because I'm going, man, I let some go of some stuff too.
Woo, borrowed benefits, right? Yes.
Well, thank
anyone
you.
Who
thank
to that,
you.
So, yeah. So,
Kristen, do you teach classes?
I do teach classes.
What's a good way for people to contact you if they're interested in taking one of your classes?
I would email me.
Okay.
And give me a couple of days to respond. And then also phone call is fine too. Also know that I do travel to teach. So if you put together a class of 10, a minimum of 10, I'll fly anywhere across the country to come and teach. So, like I said, I have to have a minimum to be able to fly somewhere, but I love to travel and I love to teach it. So, and if I'm flying somewhere, I'd be more than happy to do a 1 and 2 back to back. So, level 1 and level 2.
Okay.
How much do your classes cost, Kristen?
Level 1 is $275.
Okay.
And, you know, the level 2, people have just started asking me for level 2. And it would really actually, I need to incorporate the cost of if there's, so like I said, level 2 goes with zoos or aquariums or something along those lines. So if it costs anything to go to the zoo, I need to be able to factor that into the cost because that's covered by what you pay. So I'm guessing that'll be like around $175 for level 2.
$175, okay. Have you traveled all over the place to teach your classes?
I have. I've traveled... I've traveled into North Dakota a couple of times, surprisingly.
Wow.
I've, And you know, it's amazing. They're great there. And then I've done some work in Denver and down in Colorado, and I'm working some things out in other states as well. But, yeah.
Well, wonderful,
I'm also
wonderful.
I'm also looking at starting up a teleseminar of teaching animal communication, although the animals are like, we want you in person. So, like, oh, darn it. Teleseminars are so much easier.
And then people can get certified in body talk too, correct?
People can get certified in body talk, taking the fundamentals. I believe you have to take the fundamentals twice. And you have to, there's a whole chart thing that you memorize, and it's a three-part process to get certified. Like I said, you take the class, and then you take the test, which is there's a written test. You have to do all the hand positions in memory, in order, what they mean. And then you also do a session on the whoever's testing you.
Okay.
And then you can, I mean, there's many levels of body talk. I've done many of them, although there's many more left to do. So, and I have done the animals one. So.
And for those of you who are wondering how to get a hold of her, you can email her at Kristen, K-R-I-S-T-E-N, body talk@gmail.com, or you can call her at 763-226-6943. So we will also put that on our...
it's on the Blog Talk page.
It is on the Blog Talk
and
page.
And our Facebook page.
And our Facebook page. So you will be able to contact her. So.
And the website should be up soon. I'm hoping beginning of May at the latest. I have someone doing it for me, so.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you know, Kristen, we're at the end of our show, and we'd like to thank you for sharing your wonderful knowledge with us.
Thank you
very much. So you can follow our show on Blog Talk Radio by clicking on the follow button, and check out our blog at divinegoddessradio.wordpress.com, and our email address is divinegoddessradio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your feedback and any insight that you have for our show. And again, you can reach Beth at 651-900-4136 and Marie at 651-303-0555. And you can download our shows as a podcast using the iTunes or RSS feed buttons on our Blog Talk Radio page. And also please go to our Facebook page and like us and search for Divine Goddess Radio. And we hope that you'll all join us each week, and we send love and light to each and every single one of you.
Have a great week, everyone.
Thank you, Kristen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye.